TFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Visit www.CapturedPrey.com for all your import, transformers, and third-party figure needs. And save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular toy conventions like BotCon and TFCon, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
This is Insecticon Bob. He's doing very well. Very well indeed. That's because Insecticon Bob listens to TFYLP weekly. And Insecticon Bob loves Transformers, as does his missus. You can get TFYLP by downloading from iTunes today. Do not listen to TFYLP if instructed to do so by Chuck Norris. Do not place a listening device into the anus, as choking may occur. Please contact a physician if an erection for TFYLP lasts longer than 4 hours.
Stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, and welcome to another episode of TFYLP, episode 142. Tonight we're going to talk about our interpretation of Toy Fair 2015. We're going to jump into Power Core Combiners, and as always, whatever else sparks my fancy. Tonight I'm going to have with me a full cast. I am Megamus, and with me tonight will be Michael Swift.
What's up, everybody?
Got Tobias from the future.
Hey,
and how is tomorrow, by the way? Is it still there?
Tomorrow is great. It started out.
Okay, so we're all good because tomorrow is there.
Yeah.
Got Protoman. Protoman's with us.
Yo, I'm back.
What's wrong with your back?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's our mom.
Swage 66.
What's going on, everybody?
We have Headmaster Don, whose mic's muted. But trust me, he's there.
There he is.
Hello.
There he is. And we have Insane Galvatron.
Back finally, hopefully to be on a more regular basis.
On vacation at the world.
There we go. So, got a real full cast today. We got a whole lot of stuff to talk about. Let's dive right in it. Let's go on right in with Toy Fair 2015. Michael Swift, what do you think? What were your big topics on that?
Well,
that's deep. I mean, that's deep.
The one thing everyone's going to talk about is Devastator. So we might as well start there.
I wasn't going to talk about Devastator.
So. It was nice to see them, you know, finally show and actually confirm that it was six robots that turned into six vehicles, all at Voyager size. And so far, I mean, it looks pretty good. I'm still of the opinion that it should have been deluxes, but that's beside the point. I mean, Combiner Wars stuff looked really solid. I really like that Cyclonus, because Cyclonus is my favorite Decepticon, and so that's great. More Cyclonus, the better.
I screen shared this one because this has kind of become legendary of our first little glimpse with the ball-headed chubby guy blocking everything. So, and for our viewers or our listeners who are not viewers, yeah, you know what this is. Everyone knows what this is. This is the one where everyone couldn't stand this guy because he was in the way. But we finally got
– is internet famous now.
He's internet famous for his butt, yes. So, and now we have this picture, which is more gives us a better look at it. And why don't we do this? Why don't we just go by, because everyone has their little quirks, this, that, and the other about Devastator. Mike, tell me, when you look at it, what do you like, what don't you like, and then we'll go down the list.
Let's see. I don't like his Mixmaster foot. It's you know, all the points are pretty nice until you get there, and I don't like the purple treads on, you know, the upper body. I wish they were green like the other one. I wish they both had black treads or something, just to keep it symmetrical, because it kind of throws it off.
But that wouldn't be G1.
Well, now I knew someone was going to say that. But here's the thing. His arms aren't supposed to be black either. They weren't even G1. They should have been purple.
I know. That's my complaint. They're not purple.
But anyway, go ahead, Mike.
But the way I see this is that Combiner Wars isn't G1 as much as it is IDW. And I don't think IDW is running around with purple treads on its chest.
Actually, in IDW, the treads become the forearms.
Yeah. But does he have purple forearms?
No, they're black. They're black treads that become the forearms.
When they're black treads. Or green treads.
They don't care.
No, I don't care about that. I'm more about symmetry. And
kind of like Hercules, what his does.
Yeah,
that's how
Well, Devastator is not known for his symmetry in his upper torso exactly. I just feel like that patch of purple throws it off, because the purple, his purple chest piece is sort of, it just doesn't pop as much when there's a big old purple tread hanging off his side.
Can we call that the nurple instead?
Well, to me, the reason why it works is it's not so much for Devastator as it is the individual robot modes. You know, Bone Crusher is supposed to have green legs, and Scavenger is supposed to have purple legs.
You know, the only thing they could have done maybe is maybe paint the outside of the legs one color, and you would do a 180 on the legs, and that would be the opposite color for the combined mode. And your robot mode would be like, why is his legs two tones?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I see what you're saying. And I'm, because I'm looking at it, and I can see where that purple tread is distracting from the super wing. The purple super wing, and I agree. I think if they either make both of them black or make that purple one green, and then it fills out his chest more.
Yeah. And this is the nitpicking of someone who doesn't care if it's 100% G1 accurate.
Oh, you so. Care. You know you care.
Well, you know.
Tobias, what do you think?
Excuse me?
What do you think of it, Devastator?
It's great. I've nothing to complain about. And the Voyager size in individual parts, nothing to complain about there as well. Because, let's face it, Voyager class today is the Lux class 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Right.
There has been some shrinkage in that market.
He's got a point.
Maybe he just got out of the pool.
Well, I mean, this guy is supposed to stand 18 inches tall, though.
Yeah.
So.
Size does matter.
Proto Man, what do you think? What are your views on it?
The thing is that I don't really look at it from a current standpoint. I don't look at it and judge it how it is right now, because I know for a fact that this thing is going to be repainted across the board many times. I mean, there's going to be this one that we see. Takara is going to have their version that's going to fit the niche of that G1er guy or the guy who wants more animation accurate. There'll be an SDCC one at some point that'll be probably done in another color. Hasbro doesn't waste a mold. a lot of engineering went into those six robots to make one. You can look at that one and go, I don't like this, I don't like that. If I had to pick apart one thing, I would just say the head's a little small, but I get a feeling I'm going to probably change my mind on that when I see the individual robot modes and how that head tucks away and go, okay, if it was big, it would probably get in the way of the transformation or something. Because, I mean, we're so used to a Devastator head that was an individual piece for right. a century, practically. Like I said, it's I'm not going to judge it on its colors right now for the sole fact that this thing is, I know it right out of the gate, is probably going to have three different repaints that people are going to have to choose from. It's the same thing, like, I actually avoided all the Combiner War Superion stuff because I'll just get the Takara one. You know, like, it's, it, with the exception of Alpha Bravo being the odd man. I'm just, like, I think it looks great. I like it a lot. I like the colors. I like the individual robot modes. When people complain about the articulation and stuff about the individual robot modes, I go, you know what? Compared to a $500 Hercules or Giant, I'm not going to pay $300 more for elbow articulation. You know, so it's not going to make me lose sleep at night. So I really dig it. I actually like it a lot. But I'd like to see what the different color offerings will be. When we get closer to release date, which will be a reality.
Exactly. Sure. I agree with you. And I have to say, it's not so much about the individual parts. It's about the whole thing. The most of us are going to display it as a combiner.
Oh, it's, there's going to be very few people that display combiners individually anyway. Yeah. So.
Exactly. And I think the majority will say that I'll give up my articulation of the individual robots in order to gain more articulation in the combiner.
Which I'm pretty sure was Hasbro's goal from day one anyways. So.
Sure. All right.
Well, especially to ensure stability in something that size.
Well, you know, and I'm looking at it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Scrapper looks like that his torso is on a joint to tilt so that you can get the, you know, the foot flat for more poses and have more stability.
As long as it's on ratchet joints, everything will be fine. If it's regular ball joints, then we'll have a problem.
Right, right. Well, they got away from those, didn't they? I mean, the last time they did ball joints, I mean, consistently was like Beast Wars.
Ratchet joints are usually only used with price points that are big enough that they recognize that weight will be an issue. I mean, they start, like, they had toys like, I mean, back in the day, Ultra Class Rampage from Beast Wars, where it's like, yeah, we probably should have put ratchet joints in the hips instead of ball joints because the weight was too much. But today, now, they kind of go, like, they look like a Unicron or even a Primus, and they go, you know, we got to put some ratchet joints into those hips and stuff to get those things to hold themselves up. After a certain height, they start putting ratchet joints instead of smooth ABS ball joints instead. So as long as there's – especially because, I mean, you look at even the original G1 Scrapper and how if you had a loose one, your Devastator's screwed. That thing's not going to stay up. The thing is – like it's like ice skates practically. So, I mean, as long as they have good ratchet joints, say, in his arms of, like, the robot mode of, say, Scrapper, that would then make the – we'll call them the heel of Devastator. I'm comparing this to the G1 version. Then everything will be fine.
Let me pop up that picture again because I've been looking at it.
Yeah, let's take a look at it, actually.
And if you look right in here, this area here, it's tilted. It looks like it's probably just on a pivot. Where
it's
we probably go this way or
give
this
it also
way.
A little articulation. You know what I mean? Like, how often do we really get articulation in these big combiner robots outside of
third party?
Outside of, like, Prime Predacus, you know?
Well, that's just it. So I think definitely doing
wouldn't
doing
that
good.
Be at about around his waist. So right. Scrapper will be the first one with waist articulation where he can just kind of go woo woo.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Well. And I know you said not to harp on the colors, but I do believe, and I know they were trying to break it up, but I think putting purple right here is just dumb. I don't see the sense in it.
It makes him look like he has a big purple.
Tommy United CW Devastar. Just wait for it. And then everyone will be happy.
So. All right, Swage, what do you think?
Yeah, he's okay. I'm gonna agree with Dan. The price difference going from a 500 to 350 for Giant, that's just too much. This will be something I'd look for from someone selling it, like, you know, they buy it and they immediately regret it and they sell it for 80 or 90 bucks. That'd be what I'd go for.
And that was a reality with Metroplex, because, I mean, I don't know if that happened in the States, but Metroplex ended up in Costco at one point for $15.99.
So it happened in the States too.
It happened in the States too. Okay. So, like, yeah. And I mean, that's when everyone jumped on it. How much does the secondary market Metroplex go for now? You know, you would know more than anyone.
You don't, it's have climbing to 200.
I do. Oh, but really? I thought they were right around 100 bucks still.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't, you know what? It hasn't been out long enough for it to kind of end up there where it's now.
Well, I looked at the San Diego Comic-Con one, and it's holding its value pretty good. But I mean, you're also talking about the different packaging, more chrome, extra parts, this, that, and the other.
Yeah. The little decoys,
the little foo-foo stuff.
Yeah. I have
hey,
both.
Don, what do you think? What do you think about this big Devastator?
Well, I'm going to agree with, you know, just on the basis of initials, you know, the foot, it's not that bad. I mean, I've seen a lot worse Transformers with a lot worse feet problems.
Amen.
The tread is, from a completely aesthetic standpoint, it does kind of throw your eye to that big lack of big batch of purple. But I'll be honest, I think it looks fine. And I've mentioned this before, that we didn't have to get this Devastator. You know, they could have used this for a smaller combiner, or heck, they could have used this money and gave us 12 more versions of Luke Skywalker and made just as much money from those Luke Skywalkers as they make on Devastator. So, you know, I think it looks great. It's different enough from previous Devastators to stand out, even though it's still a green and black and purple. I think anyone just needs to withhold judgment overall on whether it's a success or failure when the final product comes out. Like you said, there's a lot of tweaks on this thing between now and then.
Well, right. My biggest complaint is now, I just wish you guys were going to stand 6 inches taller than this guy.
Oh, I do.
I'm sorry, but
that's one thing I never liked. I never liked about G1 is you have all these combiners. There are 5 combiners. Devastator has 6 combiners. Why should he not be taller? He should be taller.
Well, technically, Superion should be the tallest if you or
if you go by that logic.
Yeah, I mean,
those jets
are giants.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Devastator. You know, the only thing that, you know, Bruticus, you know, is a miscarrier, a tank, a space shuttle, and then that's where your whole size comparison just fall apart because you've got.
And then the store would be tiny.
Yes.
So,
you know, being as old as I am, like I said, if you collect Transformers and you're worried about scales, you're in the wrong hobby.
Yeah, I just wanted to say
somewhere.
Also that I'm just happy that they decided to make gigantic-ass robots, you know, with Metroplex coming out and Devastator and all this new Combiner Wars stuff. You got to at least give it to them. They're pushing themselves to the big, giant robots.
Well, here's the
instead
thing.
Of just the $15 deluxe and the $25 Voyager that's, you know, an inch taller. You know, we're getting big-ass robots to mess with.
So, Swage, are you saying that you like them big?
Damn right.
large and in charge.
Actually.
I love this. I love this posting. I've used it before.
I've seen it.
Talks about size comparison of like Bruticus and just the picture of how he would look with, of course, you know, blast off the shuttle being bigger than anything, you know, Brawl the Tank being way bigger than Swindle the Jeep. There you go. That's why size doesn't matter in Transformers. It doesn't matter.
Well, no, I just never, want it. The problem isn't.
Even with the Dinobots, like, there never was, even within its own sublines of Daikon, Microman, even within that, there never was consistent scale. So,
no, I mean, how would Swoop be anywhere close to a Sludge?
Yeah, well, that's just it. And a Triceratops like Slag would be significantly smaller than everyone else in comparison.
Right.
But anyways, semantics, whatever.
Yeah. But now, the interesting thing, Jin-Yi recently had an interview with some of the design team, and at one point they had batted around. They admitted they looked at using leader class figures for Devastator.
And they would have been no more complex than what we're getting now, just bigger.
Yeah.
Still had the same crappy elbows and all the other problems.
Oh, now the thing with the elbows, God, it's cheap fun. Elbows were a luxury. We had good articulation, and we loved it.
Well, my only issue with the elbow joints, which is really my only issue with Devastator, isn't about how much articulation he's got. It's the way they designed them. Instead of having the hinge in the middle of the arm like every other elbow we've ever had, they've got it up on the very front of the arm with a little spindly piece of plastic coming off of it, so when you bend it forward, he's got a big empty chunk in the back of the elbow. I don't understand why they designed it that way. It would have been no more parts and no more plastic to put that pin in the middle of the arm where every other Transformer elbow has ever been.
The only conclusion could come from that is probably might be related to Devastator itself. Maybe because I guess in a lot of ways we're going to wonder where some of that articulation in the combined mode is going to come off in those individual robot modes or alt modes. So, I mean, it's one of those things that's hard to really judge it on a picture right now until we really, like, feel it out. And
plus, I'm still going to buy it. I'm still going to love it just because it's huge.
Yeah. Plus, also the fact that maybe if you put this thing in a CAD design and you throw it in there and it says, okay, this is not stressing right, this is not stressing right, pretty much this configuration is not working. Maybe that's why some of the stuff looks like this individually, because it's a combined whole. It needs to be that way.
True. But all right, Mike, what was your next thing you want to talk about on Toy Fair, the next reveal? I know we hit Devastator, but what else?
Well, so continuing the Combined War trend, we have to go straight into Defensor. And the reveal of the Protectobots. So the Protectobots consist of Hotspot, which is a new mold. It has Blades, which is a retool of Alpha Bravo.
Which everyone called pretty
new
much.
New head, isn't it? Otherwise yeah. The same, just new head.
Yeah, I believe it's just a new head. There's a retool of the off-road mold that'll be coming out with the rest of the Stunicons as
first aid.
I'm wondering where that new parts go. If I can make that from a pickup truck to an SUV, and that would be on the legs. Did you just have thicker legs now?
I guess so, because it sort of had that. I guess the bed on the off-road, and I guess they could have just remolded that to be full. So, and then there's Streetwise. I believe he's a new mold. I don't think he's a retool of any of the Stunticons. And then there's
a
new guy.
He's of Dead End, I think.
Is he?
It's like a complete reshell. Somebody was saying that the bot mode is similar enough. Looks like the same, like, chest and stuff.
Because I was under the impression that it was a new mold.
It's an extensive remold. It's like Spring or Sandstorm type remold.
Yeah.
Or Silver Bowl stock on this.
Or a Jazz a Sideswipe and Fall of Cybertron. But,
that's what I want redone as Wild Router, by the way, just so I won't have two of the same car in my Stunticons.
Let me look at this. No, he's a new mold.
You think so, even the robot mode?
I think so, because I guess it depends on if the Stunticon has the same flip down chest, but I don't think it did. Oh no, I'm actually looking at the wrong one. Sorry.
Oops.
No, they're just out of order. I was looking at the right one. Never mind.
Yeah, it's got the same hips and thighs and kneecaps. Even that flip down chest plate is molded differently. But yeah, it's got a lot of. It's almost like the Prime RC to Chromia.
Yeah. So I guess it probably shares the same base then, but it's a pretty extensive remold. And then there's a new guy, and I'm trying to find his name because
Rook.
I can't remember.
Rook.
Yeah, Rook. So he's this crazy SWAT vehicle. And this is sort of in the place of Groove, because Groove is now a Legion or Legends figure. Which forms a chess piece so that when Defensor gets shot in the chest, Groove dies and Defensor is fine. You know, a la Power Core Combiners. Later topic.
I want a deluxe class Groove. I don't like these new guys are bringing in moving characters around.
See, I personally hate motorcycle Transformers. And one that is big enough to form a limb alongside a helicopter and...
Well, you're going back to the Rodriguez thing we were just talking about a minute ago with the space shuttle for an arm.
I know. But still, I hate motorcycle Transformers, so I have no sympathy for Groove.
Well, I hate train Transformers, but you don't hear me poo-pooing on other people that like them.
Again, I think just let's see what Takara does. Who knows? There might be a red herring in all of this. You never know.
Like an afterburner for the Computron that's coming.
Exactly. You never know. You never know.
I think if you're going to buy one of these, it's going to be Hotspot. Kudos to them for bringing up Hotspot again and making a new mold for him.
Did we lose Don?
Yeah, he keeps bouncing back and forth. But we're hoping he'd pop back in.
Because I know he's been crying for a new version of Robots in Disguise Fire Convoy. And I'm thinking that Hotspot would look really good redecoed as Fire Convoy.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the first thing I posed when I saw this guy is to repaint him as Fire Convoy, repaint some of the Stunticons as X-Brawn, Sideburn, Prowl, and Mirage.
And then take the pickup truck and make him the Ultra Magnus. That way you can take up Prime and Magnus combining.
Bah.
The pickup truck is Magnus, and then the other three for the three Autobot brothers, and then Fire Convoy, boom. R.I.D. Combiner.
Hey, Don. Are you with us?
Yeah, apparently there's a deer eating close to a cable line somewhere, and the vibrations are knocking me offline. Or there's a goat is ate through a wire somewhere.
Well, we got you live right now.
Or there's solar.
What are your thoughts?
Or there's
someone
players.
Kinked your internet wire.
Yeah, we were talking about Hasbro giving Hotspot some love this year in Combiner War.
Yeah, I definitely like the Hotspot. I'm definitely glad I did not go with any of the third-party ones. Just I love Defensor. Just that was kind of down on the list until I saw what happened. I love Hotspot, and I believe Mike was talking about turning into Fire Convoy. I've seen several people digital bashes of that becoming Fire Convoy, and I would buy a Fire Convoy from that mold for sure. I'm a big Fire Convoy fan. It is one of the greatest prime molds ever, Brian Kilby. So, but yeah, I like it. I protect the bots. Still, kind of wish Groove was a foot, but if you can't have a motorcycle that big and look right in the group, kind of. So, yeah.
I disagree. I want my large motorcycle. Kind of like the Junkions. It has to be a large motorcycle because it's not for humans to ride. It's for other Transformers to ride.
Now, it's like the Superion. I don't have them right here, but I do like the old packaging back, and I do it with the chest facing forward versus the jets' backs facing forward. So I just... I like to protect the bots. They look good. Someone said that they, not here, but it was on Twitter or somewhere, said that it's the rare reverse case where the individual robot modes are better than the combined mode. I'm not sure if I agree with that totally, but I can see that point of view. What do y'all think? Do y'all think the Composites look better separate or together?
They're both good, in all honesty, from what I've messed with, at least in terms of Superion. But I think that when you're selling your product individually to begin with in that market, you obviously have to make this individual robot modes at least passable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it was sold as a gift set, you could kind of get a little lazy with the individual robot modes, a la, say, like a Magna Boss from Beast Wars.
Devastator. Devastator.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. Maybe they are kind of good. But at least in this case, I mean, if someone picks up just an individual member, you kind of have to hope that, you know, especially also those individual members of Superion didn't all ship in the same cases. So a lot of people, when they got those toys, they didn't get to combine it right away.
Yeah.
They kind of had to enjoy it as its individual characters beforehand. So I would hope that Hasbro made the effort. And that's something that's been kind of common too, because I know with Energon, they didn't ship all the individual limbs for Bruticus Maximus and Superion Maximus initially. They actually did it like they pieced it out slowly over the waves.
The cool thing is, looking at Wave 1, just saying in general, if Combined Wars is coming out that strong in the initial wave of Superion, can you imagine what it'll be the waves after what we've seen here at Toy Fair of what the figures are going to be like?
I think we lost him.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yeah. I think you're hitting your mute.
Sorry, no, I don't know what it was. What I'm saying is, generally the first wave of any line is the weakest wave of the learning curve kicks in. As strong as the aerial bots are now coming out of the gate, can you imagine what we'll have two or three waves after what we're seeing here? We get to a Computron, an Abominus, a Lyokaiser, what they're going to look like.
I could see a Lyokaiser by retooling pre-existing stuff that exists to make it happen. I'll tell you one thing. All of this Combiner Wars stuff, I mean, the amount of digital kit bashing that I've seen of all kinds of, like, the millions of ideas, and the fact that when Pete was on TFYLP not too long ago, how he said that the club has a lot of interest in doing something with it, there's going to be a lot of very – I mean, just imagine every BotCon set for the next 2 years or 3 years even. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with these – I mean, just the amount of ideas that you could play around with, it's going to be crazy. I mean, already, like, people, you know, saying, like, oh, hey, you could do Energon, Optimus Prime, Grand Convoy – from that Optimus, there's just so many things. I mean, it's going to be nuts. There's going to be a lot of repaints. Again, and like I always say, they don't waste a mold, so there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out of it. A lot. And everyone's dumbfounded.
I was just thinking about that Energon convoy, because I guess he had like a helicopter limb.
You take that Rook guy. He could kind of be Fire One. Then in the future when you're going to have Nose Cone from a Computron, there's going to be your Digger Two, and then you're going to have Gyro Three, which could be any helicopter guy that we have, Alpha Bravo or whatever. And all we need is something that's going to be Submarine Four, which we don't have right now, but they might retool something and make it happen. You never know. But it's just even that could happen, because you look at that Optimus Prime that's out there and you see that combined mode and that chest and that head and you just go, dude, this is – I mean, they knew what they were doing ahead of time for sure.
Yep, definitely.
All right. Well, we'll jump back to Swage.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What? Give me specifics here. What do you want me to go for? Give me something specific.
Talking about
your mom.
Oh, we can't talk about.
No, we're not. No. Okay, so. All right, well, go back to Michael Swift. All right, you already got us led into those. What else was the announced at Toy Fair that you want to talk about?
So
we'll save one of the bigger reveals for last. So we'll go to this sort of unique idea they floated, and I've already mentioned it, is Cyclonus being made an extensive retool of Silverbolt. And he is supposed to form the chest of a combiner called Galvatronus. And I'm going to screen share here.
Now, nobody's talking about the side of his legs. They didn't show the head, but you can see the combined form chest if you look at the side of Cyclonus.
But was that confirmed, that it's not just a retool, but that they're actually going to do a combiner?
Well, why would they bother remolding the side of his legs that make up the combiner chest if they weren't going to do anything with it?
I mean, there's.
Is it anything that aesthetically helps to the combine or the robot mode?
Yes, it looks like Galvatron's chest cut in half. You can't see it in that picture that he's got up there, but some of the Toy Fair, like from the show pictures. I'm surprised nobody took a good close-up of the side of the leg to show it off. But see if I can find a picture to share.
Yeah, I think so. I think you might have shared it on the site. So
tell me real quick, because I'm not familiar with this one. How does the transformation work? You're saying that the legs would become the chest in combined mode?
Yeah, in the combined mode, there's little panels on the side of the legs that fold over and cover the middle, and it makes the chest of the combiner.
Yeah, that's how it works with Silverbolt. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of panels, that sort of hinge out on a double hinge that hinge out and form the combiner chest. But they're on the other side of the legs than in the official pictures. And here's his jet mode. So you can see his jet mode is remarkably different from Silverbolt's.
Okay, let me see if I can do a screen share here. Okay, see how you can, like, if you look here on his leg, you can see the two of the red squares from Galvatron's abdomen.
Okay.
And his chest. It's kind of dark in this picture. Like I said, I'm surprised nobody there took a picture of the side of his leg. It's visible. You can see it a little bit here, but it's kind of dark from the shadows. But you can see those squares better. That is definitely not Silverbolt's chest, but that is very Galvatron with the squares and the abdomen.
Well, you would be the one to ask, I think, but is there any canon in comics of a combiner like that?
As of right now, Cyclonus and Galvatron are in two separate comics, a galaxy apart. I don't see any possible way they can make that happen story-wise. Unless
they'll write it. One of them has to leave. They're going to make a toy. They're going to write it.
Well, one of them has to leave one comic and go to where the other comic's taking place. Cyclonus has to either leave the Lost Light and go back to Cybertron, or Galvatron has to somehow end up on the Lost Light.
And there's always a way to do it, but, I mean, when it was in the Universe line when Cyclonus came out, right? So that was
2008.
What, going on. Yeah, so about 7 years now. He's been a prominent character. There's a lot of fans around this character in the current comics. So to knock out a Cyclonus figure just for the sake of having another Cyclonus out there for the sake of the character, on top of the current fan base for the character, it could just be one of those things to fill out the line. They already have the Optimus figure out of the Motormaster mold, so use Silverbolt for something else. I mean, what were you ever going to use Silverbolt for to begin with?
Scattershot.
Well, I mean, but more to make him a Decepticon, just sort of even out the ranks.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be story wise. It's like the Combiner Prime, which I'm sitting here fiddling with, which I'm still screen sharing so you can't see it. But I don't think Prime's going to combine in the comic. I'll be surprised if they make him combine. But I think this, like, it's just filler stuff to fill out the line to give more toys out there.
Well, let me ask you guys, since you are talking about this right now, one of our listeners, Jason Tate, asked, with this Cyclonus, do you think we're going to get four sweeps that would merge with it to make the Galvatronus? Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you take four sweeps?
Register.
Yeah.
I think for them to mold a sweep just for a repaint of a retool of a repaint, you know, like I think that's kind of a stretch. I think that they just kind of looked at the Silver Bolt mold and says, like, let's see what we could do fun with this. I mean, I know someone here is a big Cyclonus fan, but I really kind of question what, like, we didn't need this to exist, but it does. But we didn't need, like, we didn't need a Combiner Wars Cyclonus, but it exists because I always felt we kind of had a really good Cyclonus to begin with, you know, three times over. We got three different repaints of that one mold. As Cyclonus, actually four times. Then there's a Strafe repaint and all of that too. But I mean, this one, I don't know. I want to see what's the story with this, if there is one. I think it might be an IDW thing instead of story wise, instead of just hey, let's just do a retool kind of thing. I don't know. That's just my take on it.
I like the idea of the sweeps, though, for Williams.
I mean, I think it would be cool if they did that. I don't think they're going to.
I think that's a lot of it. Engineering for sweeps.
Yeah.
To make four. Yeah,
just make one mold, pack it, you know, two to three per case. I mean, I'm going to buy four of it, you know, for skirts and three sweeps.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think this is genius. I mean, you have Optimus already in the Combiner Wars line. It's like, so we already gave them a combining Optimus. You know, they're not going to do Megatron because we have 2-liter Megatrons coming out at the same time. So what do they do? They're like, well, we can give you Cyclonus and Galvatron in the same figure. And I think that's where it comes.
Especially since they couldn't have done a Galvatron, because I mean, everyone has that expectation of what that should be associated with that name in an alt mode. So I guess they were like, well, we have this Silverbolt jet, we need a flyer, let's see what we could tool from it, and probably the whole process led to what Cyclonus would be, you know.
And like, okay, well, what do we do? Yeah, and it's like, what do we do with the combined mode now we have Cyclonus? Oh, well, yeah. We need a lackey of Galvatron.
There you go. Galvatronus instead of Megatronus. Yeah.
And I blew that picture up larger, you know, whenever I'm speaking and it pops up for viewers to see. You can see that chest a little better.
Yeah, that's definitely
Galvatron. I will admit it's a very extensive retool. I think when I first saw it, I did not even make the connection to Silverbolt being someone who even owns that toy. So I mean that's at least impressive in itself. Is that you were able to look at it and go, oh, is that even a new toy completely or not? So I give it credit for that. Again, part of me is like, I don't know why it exists, but it does. I just don't know why it exists. And it has to be, I'm getting a feeling it's an IDW Comics story thing down the line, because Combiner Wars is going to be predominant as time progresses, fiction-wise with the comics. So it's going to be something with that.
Probably, yeah.
For sure.
And I think he's back.
He's back to give his opinion.
Maybe. 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 Don? Chirp. Chirp.
Maybe Massey attack. See, that's what it is. He got tired of Massey still in the spotlight. So whenever Massey attacks, he just unhooks his internet so we can't see it.
That could be it.
There is. He's praying for a good internet.
Is it Massey related? That's the question.
No, he's snoozing in a box.
Cats in boxes, who would think?
So do you have to keep rebooting the computer or just logging
back in? No, I just drop. Sometimes it drops me and picks it back up. Sometimes it's too long and I have to go back and hit the link from the Facebook page. And sometimes it gets to where it says, do you accept terms? And then nothing happens.
There's a good chance that your internet wires aren't buried well, or maybe they're leaking signal into the ground.
Hey, you need to get back there behind your computer and untangle the wires so the internet can flow through better.
Oh, my God. Hey.
Someone being ironic thought a Master Shooter Collector over at him.
Optimus will defend me.
Not even gonna comment.
No.
All right, Mike. No. What else?
All right. So the biggest, well, I would say probably the second biggest reveal of Toy Fair is this guy. Woo-hoo. Leader Class right. Generations Ultra Magnus.
Here's what I want to do.
I'd say it was the
Don,
biggest.
Don, you go while we got you. Go.
Okay. I would say this is the biggest reveal because no one saw this coming. There was no leaked footage from an overseas show. And the fact that they're doing Minimus Ambus, which I believe is the correct name.
That's correct.
You know, I don't know because I don't read the books. That version of Magnus, I think, was a big surprise. Now, is this a replacement for us not getting MP Magnus as a U.S. release? That's what I'm kind of curious about. But, again, with them having such a strong relationship with IDW, they could wind up doing both, especially if Magnus comes in at Christmas. And this guy probably do out in June. I like him. I'll be honest, since I don't have an attachment to the comics, this version of Magnus does not really have a must-get up for me. I think that he looks great. But between my Citizen Stack, MPL Magnus, and City Commander, I have pretty good Magnuses right now. But when that comes out, I may get him. But I think for fans who can't get the Masterpiece Magnus through cost, or they have a strong affiliation with the IDW Magnus, that is going to be one of the big, that's the big piece of the year until Dev's Center comes out.
Well, what's Leader Class?
Is it Leader Class?
Yes.
Yes. It's leader.
Yeah, so okay. Basically around Jetfire size, give or take.
Okay. Well, the whole idea that people are saying they don't think, you know, because we're getting this, we may not get Masterpiece Magnus. If nothing else, it's all about familiarity when it comes to sales and getting characters out there. Just because we're getting this doesn't mean we're not getting Masterpiece Ultra Magnus. If anything, it increases the likelihood. They're getting the character out there for the familiarity to the non-hardcore fans, just the casuals, to see the toy on the shelf, to see the name. So when the Masterpiece one shows up, they're like, oh, that's the Masterpiece version of that character I just saw.
Yeah.
Or this year especially, the year that just passed, and this year was very Ultra Magnus centric to begin with. There was a lot of Magnus released toys, and I like to feel that was kind of spawned because the prior year to that, and people might think I'm crazy, but when Magnus won the Hall of Fame, the fan vote Hall of Fame, the year prior to that at BotCon, I think it made some of the Hasbro staff go, okay, I think, you know, we'll make some figures of this. But it is very interesting that, I mean, we kind of knew this was coming when we saw the Leader Class Ultra Magnus skew in the computers, but we all assumed, oh, hey, Leader Class Magnus, we all assumed it was going to be the MP toy. You know, and then, of course, everyone going, wow, $44 MP, that's pretty damn good for Ultra Magnus. That was the speculation. Obviously, it wouldn't make any sense when you're talking the price point. But then the fact that this exists, and again, like I said before, this toy is going to be under the Combiner Wars emblem, which is, again, IDW. So this has its place for that huge amount of the fandom that is going to be, you know, IDW books and everything, especially the way that Hasbro is marketing Transformers. I mean, we all saw the slides and stuff at the panels, but they're really selling it that RID 2.0, as I like to call it, the new RID series, RID 2.0, is going to really be aimed at that more 5-year-old to 10-year-old market. It's going to be a lot more simplistic. Hasbro themselves even admitted it. It's going to be a lot more rescue bot, you know, that vine, that whole vein of it. Where
not that there's anything wrong with rescue bots.
No, not that there is, but I'm just saying it's going to be that kind of storytelling, that kind of engineering, that kind of that market. And they probably realize, again, and Hasbro's, they're there in person now, this new young Hasbro crew, they're there at the BotCons, and they're there during the James Roberts panels. They're there during all of that, and they're seeing this huge love for the IDW comics, like it or hate it, that's purely individual, but this huge love for the IDW comics and their characters and their designs, and them going like, hey, you know, the Combiner War stuff is, and this Generation stuff is already aimed at that older audience, which are the comic book readers. The reality of it is a lot of kids in the 5 to 10 age market aren't comic book readers. They probably figured if we're going to do a Magnus, let's do something that's completely different from what the Masterpiece toy is doing. And not to mention, Hasbro pays attention to what the third party guys are doing, and all the third party guys have done their kind of Magnus or their Citizen Stack or whatever. So they're like, let's do something that no one has done. And I mean, even some people even already suggested the repaints from this to me. And I was like, you know what? They did this, and they probably even thought about the repaints, because I look at this and I see a Star Convoy with MicroMaster Hot Rod in the future. When you look at even Minimus, you know what I mean?
I want this guy.
No, I'm being serious. I didn't even think of that. Someone else suggested, and I was like, you know what? That actually kind of makes sense. Because you look, he even has that little spoiler there in the alt mode.
Yeah. Retool this thing, give us Power Master Optimus, and Minimus can be Haku.
Or that.
So I want this guy, blue, red, silver, and brown, big convoy pre-Earth.
I could see that too. And then they could make the little guy like a pre-Earth Stampy or something.
Oh, goodness. Yes. Please.
There you go.
For the love of God, make me a trench coat and a fedora for these characters so I can have my... I just want a molded trench coat and fedora so I can put on my pants.
That's all we need, fedoras for our Transformers.
I don't know why. I just want that.
It's been ruined.
Yeah, I'm really digging this. I mean, the reality of the matter is I'm not going to import Masterpiece figures. I'm not in the market for Masterpiece figures. That's another shelf I'd have to start putting stuff on. But I've already got a classic shelf, and I really like Ultra Magnus. It was one of the first G1 Transformers I got. I always thought Magnus was cool. And this thing is, you know, I don't have to get the Ultra Magnus from, you know, Takara. I don't have to get it from Hasbro when they're most definitely going to bring it here, and it's going to be, you know, $50 more than Takara for some reason, because that's been the trend with Masterpiece figures lately.
Well, and I agree. For someone like you and for a lot of people, this will be their fix outside of the Masterpiece toy. This will be their, you know, I'm not going to get the $200 – actually, no, how much was the MP Masterpiece?
I got 90. I got my one.
Okay, he's almost 200 then. You know, a lot of people aren't going to take that $200 plunge plus shipping. They're not going to pick it up in person, but they're definitely going to go this route. And size-wise, it's. I mean, if it's anything like Jetfire, let's assume, because we didn't really get some good comparison photos. Not, you know, a little shorter, but not crazy shorter, you know. So it'll fit that person's niche, number one, wallet-wise, number two, availability. And, you know, hey, that little dude that comes with it, they'll just kind of ignore it, I guess, you know.
Well, one thing about Magnus is that I like, I'm just seeing this from a different point of view, is they've actually introduced a little bit of Brave Super Robot into Transformers. Just a little bit by having Minimus and Ambus basically be in control of the Magnus persona, the armor. You've added a little bit of Brave into the line, whether it was intentional or not. I kind of like that.
That was more from a writing standpoint, I think, prior. That was something that was planned way before I think even this toy was conceived. So,
well, because I think that's how, you know, spoilers. I believe that.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm always kind of like iffy to talk about this stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, because that's how he works in the comic books, right?
Yeah.
Magnus isn't a person. Reveal. Yeah, he's not a person, but he's been many people, right?
Yeah. Well, so. It's like it was the title, And that's, yeah, that's why I don't like talking about it, because there's always someone that I'm like, why haven't you read it yet? You know, but and something like this was in the comics at the time was a big reveal. It was a big like shocker moment. It was like, oh wow, you know, it's kind of like, you know, getting the Mask of the Phantasm toy from Batman, and then the toy itself was a spoiler. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, so it's like it's one of the. So it's one of those things where it's like, this was a big reveal, and like, shame on anyone who hasn't read the comics up to this point, but spoiler, Magnus isn't what you think he is. So, but yeah, like it's, I just dig it. I dig it a lot. I think it that's one that really serves its purpose, you know, like where in the case of the Cyclonus, I was like, did we really need that one? This one, it's like, this does serve a purpose in the face of a masterpiece toy that's out right now, you know?
Speaking of what's out right now, what about this guy?
Let's take a look.
Yeah.
Megs.
Combiner Wars Megatron has been released. It's been confirmed and found. What do you guys think? Is this one to pick up, or do you wait for the Armada repaint, or do you pass it?
I would have been all over this until X-Transbots showed a Polygon. Because I think he would have made a good stand-in for a masterpiece Megatron until Polyon was announced. And I was like, okay, I no longer have interest in Leader Megatron.
You think he sizes up to MP10?
Close enough to sit on the shelf. I've seen side-by-side pictures. There's like a quarter-inch difference in height as far as him being eye-to-eye.
See, and again, it's that approach that I think, like, this toy is intended for the IDW Megatron. It has the faction swap gimmick, which a lot of people tend to forget that's present on the toy, which is part of the story. So this is not so much everyone getting their G1 Megatron that they want for their classic shelves. This is getting the IDW Megatron in the IDW universe post-Chaos storyline Megatron, where it's that's just it. Like, I mean, I don't think he's something that's meant to be the breaking point for people going, oh, should I get my third-party gun Megatron or something? This is its own thing. And honestly, if you're going to get that mold then and you have no connection to the IDW comics, you're better off getting the Armada homage then, because that's something that's more, I think, appropriate for then for that mold. If you're not an IDW guy, then I think you're better off getting – if you're going to pick one, invest into the Armada one.
Well, yeah. See, I don't know. I have a passing following of the comics. I haven't read very far in to the current stuff. But personally for me, as a non-G1, you know, I didn't grow up a G1. I've never liked Megatron as a gun. I like him, you know, G2 Blast Megatron. When I first got on the internet and I saw G2 Megatron, G2 Megatron to me is really cool. I like Megatron as a tank. It makes sense. I've always had a problem with imagining Megatron letting himself be held by people. It doesn't seem like it fits his personality. So this has that really nice G1 looking robot mode. You got the chest, you know, that's very Megatron. It just screams Megatron. You got the head, the bucket head that screams Megatron, the silver, the red, the black.
The legs even have a similar shape.
Yeah, but then you have, to me, a more realistic tank for more realistic alt mode for Megatron in a tank.
Well, so then what's your take on the Armada? Because basically you're taking which would serve the tank more appropriately for Armada, and then basically you're taking a G1 body and putting the ears on it, because that's what it looks like. I look at this and I see a miscolored G1 Megatron with bunny ears.
It looks like Megatron. Exactly. It looks like G1 Megatron's cosplaying as, yes, Armada Megatron.
There you go.
I think it looks terrible as Armada Megatron. Armada Megatron. Agreed. Was a tank, and I think it looks terrible.
I think it should have been G2 Megatron, but that's just G2 fan in me.
I would say it fits in more than Armada. The only thing that's Armada on that is the colors and those little bunny ears.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, that mold itself, it's intent from the beginning, because when Alex Milne was doing the designs for that character, those exact – I mean, I'm actually on my computer right now. I'm trying to find the original designs for the toy. Alex Milne was helping with it. I'm trying to find it right now, but –
Heck, they could have colored it purple and black and have been a hero Megatron color.
There's gonna be repaints. You could never look at any of this and just take it for its one face value anymore. You can't anymore. You just cannot. You have to look at something and look three steps after.
I want reverse convoy. I mean,
you never know. You never know. Never rule out anything anymore. Never rule out anything anymore. I mean, if you would have told me freaking Black Shadow was going to be a USA only exclusive generations deluxe toy, I would have laughed at you, you know, and somehow Thunderwing would be the one released in United. But
any of the new kids listening, because Reverse Convoy is a bit obscure. There was a line called Robot Masters. Look it up. It was sort of there was a line that at the same time here in the U.S. we had the Universe line. It was full of a bunch of weird, strange Beast Wars repaints and stuff. Takara decided to be awesome and make new molds of some
new molds.
And repaint some. And,
it was their own little, here's our universe.
And so Reverse Convoy was basically a smaller version of that G2 Megatron with a gimmick where he had a Megatron head and an Optimus head.
Reverse Convoy, Rebirth Megatron from Planet Viacon. And it was supposed to be because the story was that everyone came from the Blasty Zone, blah, blah, blah. And Rebirth Megatron was supposed to kind of be the G1 Megatron of that battle because you had Beast Convoy, which is Optimus Primal. And anyways, that's a whole other topic. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But I realized that's the reference.
Did everyone get to talk about the Megatron and the G2 Foo Foo Bunny Ear Megatron?
Well, the silver and gray Megatron, I'll definitely pick it up, but I would like to see those legs better in person because those legs look kind of funky hunky.
Yeah, I think I will go with the G1 style Megatron. I love Armada Megatron, but I don't like... Those orange ear pieces.
I found it. Okay, here. So there we go. That's when Alex was first early working on it. Like, that was with the faction symbols. He has the Autobot logo on the chest there. You could kind of make it out there.
Yeah.
And that was like, God, when did I get this image? This was 2013.
Does anyone else look at that and think that looks a lot like the Titanium one?
Oh yeah, it has similarities, of course, to the the Titanium one, which was based off of also a Don Figueroa design,
right? Right.
From that War Within.
War Within, right? Yeah.
Yeah, War Within. But I mean, those are early images. There was a lot of stuff, man. See, I can't show you guys all of this, but there was a lot of stuff in the production stage.
Well, go ahead. We're not going to tell anyone.
Yeah, except that it could be like played over and over.
What are you talking about? It's just us. It's just us here.
But it's just, that toy from day one was IDW Megatron at that moment in the comic books. That was the intent. And it was just them going like, okay, we're going to do that. But we might as well like appease those fans who also don't read the comics that'll be like, hey, here's my G1 Megatron for the shelving. Because Lord knows we haven't. I mean, when you really think about it from the generations classic standpoint of toy releases, we didn't really have a lot of Megatrons or Galvatrons frequently. I mean, like the last time we really had a Megatron was we had that, again, the fighter jet. I mean, the bomber jet, which was, again, an IDW thing. Yeah. But designed with the sole intent that it's like, well, we're doing this because then we're going to be doing our G2 Dreadwing, you know, so like there's always those three steps ahead that are always planned. And then we had the legend scale little Megatron gun with the orange tip and stuff there, so it's just them going like, we're throwing people another Megatron toy, you know. Well, here's another one.
it works in the concept that he's a tank like an IDW, but to me, the disconnect is that chest. That is a very G1 cartoon chest. His chest doesn't quite look like that in the IDW. He's got more of the divided chest with the pectorals, whereas that Megatron is just a flat barrel chest.
That's where the design comes in here that I was showing, because it had a very it had the G1 chest for the design, and obviously certain pieces don't work out in the end, but from a practicality standpoint of engineering and plastics and everything, but from that toy IDW Megatron, and anyone who has other opinions of it, you have to understand what it was intended to be from the beginning. It's kind of like people when they look at it's like if you looked at a movie toy and said, well, that's not G1 Wheelie, it wasn't intended to be G1 Wheelie, it was intended to be movie Wheelie, so it's the same thing. The thing is that they don't blatantly say on the box IDW Megatron post Chaos story arc or More to Meets the Eye storyline.
Right.
It's just like people just look at it as face value. Oh, it's a Megatron, it's a tank, it's silver, okay.
Well, one of our viewers here just said, Dan Jones said, you grab your it's a Polyon, right? Isn't that the third party one that's coming out?
Mm-hmm.
You grab that for your old school G1 Megatron, and then you grab your Hasbro for your IDW Autobot Megatron, and there you can have both.
That's what Combiner Wars is in a nutshell. Everything that's coming out of Combiner Wars, everything is infused with this is what's going on in the comics. And if anything happens that is just a healthy coincidence that it works out for a G1 collector of the old school, then all the better. That's why, it's sad but true, probably characters like Alpha Bravo for Superion are probably going to be a thing where, that's where – Takara looks at Superion and goes, yeah, we understand that, but the IDW comics isn't a thing in Japan. Yeah, it has a little bit of a following, but it isn't a thing in Japan, so we're going to do the G1 homage thing instead, and we're going to put in our who was it, Firefly that was missing?
Slingshot.
Slingshot.
But it's kind of bullcrap in the comics the way they did it, because Superion's fate was unknown. He got ripped apart by Devastator, spoiler alert. And then when they reintroduced him leading into Combiner Wars, there was no confirmation any member was dead. They could have left Slingshot. It's more the other way around. They wanted to put Alpha Bravo as a toy, and they told IDW, hey, we need to replace Slingshot with Alpha Bravo, and they worked it into the story.
It's a possibility. It's a possibility from a creative standpoint. I mean, it's not the first time in Transformers history that toys dictated fiction. I mean, it's only happened a billion times with every comic book writer, Beast Wars writer, or anything, where it's like, hey, we need you to put this in here. That's just the way it is. But at least, like I said, I think if people really want their G1 fix, whether it be, going to the dip back to Devastator, let's look at what Takara is going to do. I think Takara is going to give you more what you're looking for. I mean, Takara, even from an IDW standpoint, I think Takara was giving you more what you want. I mean, the Takara Windblade is a million times more like the comic than the Hasbro release. Hasbro release is nothing like how she looks in the comic. So I think turn to Takara for that. I hate to sound cliche because there's so many guys that are like, oh, Takara is always better than Hasbro. But I think Takara is going to be the better route to take for this in a lot of different areas. That's why I'm getting United Superion.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, you said that you had something else that you were kind of holding back on?
No. There was Ultraman is sort of the highest.
That was your pinnacle there?
Yeah, we need to gush on Magnus some more.
Yeah. There was a bunch of crap revealed for RID, but I don't think anyone in our audience is the primary audience for that.
Wasn't really big reveals for RID. It was more like a lot of price point stuff. It's like, hey, Underbite, but now Legend Scale.
Thunderhoof.
If you want to really mention if you want to mention one thing, the only G.I. Joe news for any G.I. Joe fan was Transformer related.
I forgot about that.
If you want to talk about a certain Viper.
Yeah.
That's right.
Really good one. Picture.
You know, so
go ahead and start vamping on that. I'm gonna find the picture.
Like that I was mean, the only thing that I was really excited about. Really.
Oh, okay. There you go. So I mean, that's one you could talk about. I mean, and that's cool because I mean, especially since I almost feel like it was Hasbro just throwing G.I. Joe a bone, going like, look. We know you guys have, like, literally diddly squat for 2015. But what I think the most fascinating thing about this is that this is a repaint that was totally inspired by a third-party idea, which was, what was the name of that? Someone did a third-party Power Glide, and then they did a G.I. Joe Rattler repaint. And I remember – I only really remember this because at TFCon at the chair – yeah. And I think at TFCon, a charity auction, someone sold one. So it was really cool. But
so here he is, Paraglide.
As Viper.
If he wants to wash your windows, be very, very careful. We all know what happened last time.
I love that episode, by the way. That was awesome. Just throwing
Let's
it
see.
Out there.
Oh, there is this piece of crap.
That's another one where it's like, did we really need that to begin with?
I agree with you. I thought the one that we got, the classics, was just fine.
But then, like I just said before, you got to kind of always look beyond what you're seeing, and that's going to be a Megatron down the line. That's going to be a Brawl down the line. That's going to
be a Megatron. That's the thing.
Has it already? Oh, God.
Yeah, there this was the Megatron Origins.
It's that one. Oh, man. Yeah. That sucks then. So then they're just reaching at straws now.
Well, yeah. It's right.
It's the Wave 2 one.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Warpath as we know him, but it's not a bad use of the mold. It's just, you know, it's not Warpath classic, but, you know, I don't hate it. It's just, you know, it's not.
It's more.
The question was it necessary?
No, yeah. It's not. Really as think it was necessary. It's just them going like, well, we got this Megatron mold, and we got to repaint it into something.
I mean, surely there was another. Yeah, surely there was another little tank they could have.
Fake. Quake.
I was thinking, why not just a bludgeon?
Quake.
That would have been cool—a bludgeon, or even you want to do a Banzaitron again, revisit that. I think just another Warpath. Meh.
Yeah, you know, Quake can include one of the Target Masters from Scoop.
Yeah, exactly.
Or both.
Like, I think that there would have been a lot more fun because the thing is, too, if you do, like you just said, Don, if you do a Quake, that'll make a lot of people more interested to pick it up because, oh, hey, it's Quake now. Now you want to get it because it's like, oh, that's not on my classic shelves. But everyone I know, I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone here, did you get Warpath Deluxe when he came out?
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, everyone got that fix, so really, who are you marketing this to, especially since Combiner Wars, in general, is marketed at the collector market, according to Hasbro. It's just them going, like, I think they just ran out of ideas from their creative end, even though there is lots of ideas that you could do, and they just probably went, just go Warpath. Yeah,
well,
go Warpath, whatever.
I'll be honest, Quake with two Target Masters would be a good BotCon figure. So
mention, they could have just taken the two Target Masters from Scoop, pack it in. I mean, Lord knows already they phased out in the Legend scale the little Micro Masters, which is silly. I that kills me that kind of got phased out of the Legends. I mean, I was so looking forward to Buzzsaw repainted from the Waspinator and all that. All that got shoved under the rug, which is such a shame.
Well, again, you know, we might see that, you know, in other things down the road. Those molds exist, and like you said, they're going to reuse them.
I believe every single one of them, with the exception of the reflector, has been repainted once.
Yeah.
I don't think Chop Shop wasn't, was he?
Oh yeah, Chop Shop with Megatron. You're correct. Yeah, that one too. So I mean, it's one of those things that I mean. They could have totally done it. Quake is – you're right, Don. Quake would have been a great idea, a great, great idea because it would fit every single niche market and it would give you a repaint of the mold, which would fit Hasbro's need to just, you know, save money. So anyways, so, I don't know. That one I felt was not needed.
Here's the Minimus Ambus. We didn't show it.
See, look at the alt mode. Look at the alt mode. Look at that spoiler. Yeah. That's a MicroMaster hot rod repaint.
We didn't show this. Ultramanus is a vehicle mode.
There's another thing we should mention, the leader class Thundercracker.
Yes.
Especially I think that was revealed back.
That was revealed a while back.
It was. Back in San Diego Comic Con, I think.
But
SDCC 2014.
Exactly. But in the last 2 days, we have had a potential spoiler come out that on the cover of an upcoming IDW, we are seeing that mold leader class Jetfire. Starscream on the cover is wearing that mold.
Yeah, exactly.
So it looks like we'll be getting Starscream in the Jetfire mold coming soon.
And again, this whole line is influenced by the IDW books. So
I don't know if I'd put money on him coming out as Starscream.
Well, remember Hasbro said at BotCon last year, they know that the fans, the groups that come out as trios, like Tribal Bottle Kickback.
That is an expensive Seeker trio.
Yeah, so
I want to see a remold that come his.
Yeah, so if we're going to be getting, if Skywarp's already in the bag, which we know he is, and there's a cover for Starscream in that mold, you can bet we're going to get all three of those at some point. Yeah. It's just,
if they do, I hope they do them last.
It's just, you know, they know.
I don't know if I need two of that mold looking so similar, because Jetfire and Starscream are very similar.
Well, you could really deco up a Starscream and still be G1 Starscream, and it would be visually a lot different than Jetfire.
Well, guess what? We got some breaking news. Ooh. Just came in.
More hockey pucks.
Confirmed Masterpiece Tracks.
Yes!
Sweet. Just came in.
Sweet. Now, blue yellow.
Mike Boyle just shot it over to us real quick, so shout out to him. If we did news credits and stuff like that, like the other boys or whatever, I'd give you one. So, but you get an attaboy. So there we go.
Now, this is one I might actually have a hard time not getting. I really like Trex because I really like that Corvette.
Trex was the G1 boy I wanted for Christmas when I was a kid and I never got.
Well, real quick for our listeners, this comes from the AllSpark. They front page news it. Masterpiece Trax prototype looks like it's going to be in P25. I'm reading a little bit. I don't see anything else. It does say it's most likely going to be blue. This one's just a gray or white prototype.
Oh, they're not going to release it first in yellow?
you mean like Vinyl Tech?
Oh. Exactly.
But
it's so much fun.
Let me see if I can get a better picture here. It's sleek looking. I like it. I'm not really sure what Phase 7 means. Does anyone know what that means?
Phase 7, that's weird because Phase 6 is the name of Hydra Andrew Hall's company. That's very bizarre.
Oh, no, I just now noticed that. It says Phase 7 on the sign. And then, of course, everything else is in Japanese that I, of course, can't read.
Well, we're going to get a few repaints from that, Road Rage and everybody.
I'll welcome Road Rage.
And if they include anything with this, we'll get a Raul.
Yes.
I think that was the one that was rumored to come with a blaster
and take deck mode, yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading something like that.
That would be just fine.
That might be like the Amazon pack-in or something, you know.
I hope not.
Now, see, I look at this, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it, but the gun doesn't look right. It might just be the angle. The gun doesn't look right. The waist looks a little small, but once again, it looks like he's angled. So we might be getting a little bit of a side shot of the hips, right in here. I'd be willing to bet that's a little fuller.
Yeah, it's the angle. We're seeing angle of the photo.
You think it's the angle? I think it is. I think it's the angle there.
Yeah. The more important question to be asking is, where's the flying car mode?
Well, he's got the wings.
Yeah.
And definitely, it should be easy to flip them out. I think that's an easy one. And then, of course, the question also is will the backpack with the rockets be able to fit in car mode?
Yeah, I don't see why not, because see, you looks like you could probably take the missiles and swing them up under the trunk. Like,
you think this whole piece right in here is a hinge?
It's either the missiles fold. This is what I'm thinking. My camera's off, but if you got the missiles on hinges, they would flip up into the rail, and then the rail would be on a hinge and fold up into the trunk. So it just matters who fold to get your missile rack out from under the trunk.
Possibly.
I mean, if you look at the execution they did with the classics mold. I mean, you have to pull the missiles off and stick them under the pegs, but if they can do that with the Deluxe, then the engineering of the Masterpiece should be a cakewalk for them to get it into that mode.
That's definitely some now, again, although it does sort of wonder what the fate is of the rumored Masterpiece Megatron. Is he pushed back, or does he even still really, really exist?
Is that not just the gold Megatron that they're releasing?
That's what I think, too. Isn't it just that gold one?
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking, one of the running rumors is that, because remember with the last of the original Prime molds, they did Sleet Loot Convoy, and then they said, this is the last one you're ever going to get, and then we got the MP10 version. So with us getting the gold-plated Megatron, it's kind of running parallel to getting Sleet Mode Convoy, and people are saying, well, we need to be getting a new Megatron anyway, so they're getting one last use of the original Megatron mold before we get a new one, which everyone was guessing would be MP25, but that's just been shot out of the water.
I don't know. I mean, because Decepticons aren't as popular in Japan, right? So...
Well, it's villains kind of hit or miss.
Yeah, it's kind of hit. You'd be surprised. They don't do as well in Japan.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a reason. There's a reason why like Alternators, Binaltech kind of avoided that too, and everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's like in the recent Sentai show that ended, Resha Sentai Tokuger, the villain costumes are so awesome looking from the shadows. The villains are so awesome, and we'll never get figures of those.
Never. You have to rely on the American market.
Yeah, they just don't do villain figures, and these are some of the best costumes we've ever had in the Heisei era. And it's just sort of sad.
Yeah.
All right. I guess to wrap up the Toy Fair stuff, I was just going to scroll through some of the Prime stuff, or the not Prime, but the RID stuff, since that's the other stuff that was there. We got the return of, they're calling these mini cons. There, you can think of them as the data discs from Fall of Cybertron. I actually think these look better than the data discs. They sort of got that like mini, like cutie style to them.
Well, I heard they were going to be one step
thing going on too, which was very similar to the what's it called there? The Arms Micron stuff that was going on where you had to assemble it.
Those are actually being called Minicons.
Yeah.
Yes, that's definitely.
They're one-step changers too, aren't they? Like the data disks,
they're called deployers, so they actually get shot out by the Autobot deployer is Drift. The
Fracture is the other one, I believe.
Yeah, Fracture is the Decepticon, which Fracture looks a lot like Transformers Prime Starscream. If we get to him, Ratbat.
Now they're just throwing names at this point.
he turns into a shoe. I mean, at least he turns into a bat.
Kinda.
Or pink.
Kinda. I dig the model sprues, though, that they kind of have that Autobot Decepticon shape to them.
The one kind of looks like Hot Rod.
So here's the deployer Drift and all its kids' toy glory. I mean, that,
see, and they all have that QR code thing going on them.
Yeah.
They're still rocking that.
Well, you know, but as far as gimmicks, at least it's not an unobtrusive gimmick that kind of, you know, limits the line like minicons were.
Well, I mean, this whole area right here that deploys it is just sort of hanging off of his side, like.
Well, that's the deployer. That's not the actual Warrior class TV show figure. That's the other version.
Well, this
there's still a Warrior Griff too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but this is the deployer. I guess I see what you mean. I see what you mean now. I miss that. Here's Fracture. Yeah, here's Fracture and his. Let's see if we can find his robot. So you can see here. Tell me, this is not Scream, Transformers Prime, Starscream.
Yeah, it looks like.
That's a similar aesthetic, yeah.
Because of that Shockwave, though, kind of more.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. I was like, what? That was that Starscream? The big stuff out of this really was, let's scroll. Jazz.
Yeah.
Was revealed, so he's getting his own Warrior class figure. I really dig that vehicle mode. And they revealed the Warrior class sideswipe. And
I think that's all alternate modes.
Yeah. Their alternate modes are really cool, and I think that's really where they've shined. It's unfortunate it doesn't translate to robot mode often enough.
Due to simplicity of transformation.
Yeah.
That's why. More bulkiness as a result.
Well, and this goes back to the this goes back to that whole I would really rather the vehicle mode suffer than the robot mode. But maybe, I guess kids are just more into the vehicle mode, and that's why they focus on it.
Come on, man. Robots in the skies. The cars have to look good. Or they're not really in the skies.
That is sleek right there. Sideswipes. One steps, no one cares. This is the first figure.
That's young Thunderhoof.
Yeah, Thunderhoof.
Freaking deer.
You got a motorcycle guy that looks like Fracture. So, oh, and we got Legion class figures, so they actually have a Legion class.
Fix it. And there's the underbite one.
Yeah. And that's the end of those. So, I mean, not a whole lot coming out of here that I think is going to strike a lot of collectors' fancy. But
no.
I think the kids will have fun with it. I actually might pick up some of these mini cons. I don't know what it is about them, but they're doing something for me.
Hey, Brett, I just was wondering, before we leave the topic of Toy Fair, what's everyone's favorite non-Transformer reveal?
Ooh.
Just you know, there's so much that came out of it. I've got mine, we'll stay mine for last, but I'm just wondering, what's everybody's favorite non-Transformer reveal?
That would have to be Legacy Rocketeer by Funko. But just because I'm a fan of Rocketeer.
I missed that.
Probably that, which is it's a Funko is doing a larger scale articulation line they're doing, and so they did Firefly, a whole bunch of figures of that,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing one of the Rocketeer. Nice. And because the Rocketeer was one of those things that when it first came out had very little merchandising outside of like little PVCs and things.
I remember.
And then they did a Metacom $300 like Hot Toys kind of thing doll, which yeah, you know. So that like really hardcore Rocketeer fan would have that. And then they really didn't have much else aside from that, except again statues and non-articulate stuff. So this is, and then Funko recently they did their reaction line,
right.
where they did that like you know it's that retro style of 80s action figure,
the Kenner style of figures.
They did a Rocketeer of that, and now they're doing Rocketeer, but from their new this is a new subline they created called Legacy, which is like we're gonna do. I guess it's kind of like their answer to Black Series, it almost looks like. It looks like Black Series for Funko.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's on there somewhere.
that series is a bit hit and miss. Like their magic figures were, I don't know, they sort of looked a little bit like someone took a lighter to their faces. But
well, again, Rocketeer will have his mask on, so I'll be fine.
Yeah. But all right. Anyone else want to answer Dan's question? Or
yeah, I think that was on a lot of Lego news. I'm a big Lego fan, so
yeah,
they're going to relaunch some space stuff in the City line later on.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that. Yeah. What are they going to do? The
space
are
shuttle?
Are they going to go back to the 80s ones?
No, they're doing the space shuttle. Well, it's kind of 80s, but I don't think we got the space shuttle in the 80s. I think it was in the 90s. But they're doing a new space shuttle, and it looks good. Both bigger sets and smaller sets, starter sets, and so on. So I think that was nice.
Nice.
And they're doing Scooby-Doo Legos later on this year. I grew up with Scooby-Doo. I loved the show, so.
And we're getting Doctor Who Legos later on the year.
Yeah.
I am kind of excited about that. I might actually pick one of those up.
Sweet.
I sort of just recently got into Doctor Who. So
Marathon it.
Oh, I did. I back in November, I started watching, and I'm all the way up through present. Well, I didn't start with the really old stuff. I started at the reboot, or reboot. I haven't gone back that far, but I've watched those 8 seasons. But we're talking about other things. Anyone else? Or?
Well, it's Galvatron. Did you have one before I go?
Well, I honestly didn't follow much Toy Fair news on non-Transformer stuff, although I'm interested to know what the Turtle reveals were, but I was just trying to Google some stuff, and I was having trouble finding any info. So, no, I really don't have anything at the moment.
Brett, have a
Turtle-wise, there's no classics. Playmates, unfortunately, and not a lot of people have news on this, so I might as well just say this here. The classics line didn't do well in retail at all. It was clogging shelves, and a lot of retailers didn't want anything to do with them as a result. So right now, classics is on hiatus. So that shredder that was revealed, I think it was SDCC who had it, that's all on hiatus right now. So that kind of sucks. But the
Marvel stuff.
What?
The Marvel stuff. I did hear some stuff about the Legends line, the 6-inch. They're going to have a Build-A-Figure of the Hulkbuster Iron Man armor with the Avengers 2 stuff. So I am looking forward to that, the giant Hulkbuster.
Yeah. My big reveal was actually a small reveal. But I am finally getting a Marvel Universe, the small figure version, Thunderstrike. I'm finally getting a Marvel Thunderstrike. Not Bearded Thor. I'm getting an actual Thunderstrike with the mace. I am ecstatic. Between that and Spider-Girl coming out, I'm actually collecting Marvel again.
Alright. So I guess that'll wrap up our Toy Fair talk. Lots of cool stuff. We're going to go ahead and plug our amazing sponsors, CapturedPrey.com and MegaToyFan.com. You can go there, get some cool toys.
Great toys, great prizes, great service.
Yeah. That one.
That one.
Brain farts.
It's all right. Now we're going to change directions a little bit, and we're going to go and talk about Power Core Combiners. And
yeah.
Tobias, are you going to lead the way into this segment? How's that?
Yeah, I can do that. This is something that I hold dear. I really like the Power Core Combiners. They were released, I think, in 2010. I just started collecting Transformers a couple of years back. Just 1 year. Ahead of that, I think it was around the second Transformers movie, Revenge of the Fallen, and then the Power Core Combiners came out, and I think this was great move on Hasbro's part. There hasn't been any real combiner since Energon, and you have to correct me on this, but...
Up to that point.
Yeah, right. Up to that point, yeah.
If you're talking more than three units, yeah, Energon.
Yeah, it should be Energon. And I know that they made a re-release of Superion from Energon during the Revenge of Fallen toy line.
And Bruticus.
And Bruticus, of course. So, and along came the PowerCon Combiners, and they were released in 2-packs and 5-packs. And for you out there that doesn't know what they look like, I have some of the toys here. They came in all different shapes and sizes. This was a main vehicle or robot. It was a scout class sized, I think you can say.
At deluxe size prices.
Yeah.
Well, you got the Minicon, I guess. I don't know.
And it was the drones, these small cars, this legend size cars and airplanes and so on. And I was so psyched about this. And I thought, oh, wow. A new combiner line until I bought the first one. I think it was a Combaticon. I forgot his name now. It was Bombshock. Mm-hmm. And when I opened it up, I realized that these small guys, the Legends class size toys, were not Transformers per se. They were spring-loaded toys. So when you pop them on a limb on the main Transformer, they were transform like this. It was a spring holding them. So here's the result of one of them. I think this is Mudslinger.
Probably the worst in the line.
Yeah, it is. It's not the best one, but this was the only one that I got combined at the moment. So that was a gimmick about this. They had a bunch of drones, but the thing that I still love today is the main... scout class sized toys. They're really good at robots. We got this guy here, for example. Let's see if you can get him in picture. And for those who are not watching us, this is Undertow, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It was Undertow.
Yeah, it's a really cool looking marine robot that transformed into a boat. The only sad thing that when you were to combine him with the drones, he didn't come with any drones that were marine.
Yeah, that.
No, so because he was a 2-pack, and I think that is my love for the PowerCon Combiners, those main guys, those scout class guys, because they're really awesome.
Commanders, as they were called.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
and
Undertow was my favorite Power Core combiner.
In my opinion, I agree with you.
Yeah, he was really cool, and I mean the diving helmet for his combined mode head was really cool.
Yeah, that's the other thing about these Power Core combiners. They came with two heads, these guys. So let's see if I can get a close shot of him. Here's with the visor on, and you can then just lift up. Sorry.
That's all right.
You can flip around everything. So when you flip around stuff, you get... Oh, it's a reverse camera. There's his diving helmet. That's old classic style diving helmet.
The diving helmet was just really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I thought he was a really cool figure, and it was a shame that he didn't have anything to go with him. I also thought his Minicon was cool, except for the fact that the thing would not stand up.
No.
Yeah, right, have a problem. Attached to the chest.
Yeah.
And folks, when we're talking about 5-packs, we already explained that. I hope that we got through. We got the drones, those meaningless drones. But the 2-packs, you got, for example, this guy, and, just like Michael said, a little Minicon, often translucent.
And those little Minicons formed formed weapons, and they also formed armor for their chests more often than not, so that the Power Core Combiner could live while the Minicom died.
Exactly.
And
here's another example. I'm holding up a toy here. I think it's called... No, it's not Heavy Tread. It's...
Oh, no, it's right behind me. Sledge.
Sledge.
And his Minicon can form a diamond drill. It looks like a diamond drill.
Yeah. He was pretty cool. I actually like his combined mode was really, really cool.
Yeah.
It worked well with the Pentagons. Now, you have to get to this guy. I went and grabbed
him. Yeah, that guy.
So this is he came out in the really late. I mean, some people didn't even find him. I got lucky and found him at Walmart randomly about, I don't know, 6 months after the line had been ended. Suddenly stuck out a bunch of two packs. It had a five pack with the two pack on the side for the price of what the two pack used to cost. So actually, that's how I got him and the Constructicons. But it was really a shame because towards the end of the line, they really started getting good. The Dinobots here, they sort of started solving that gangly arm problem. I mean, this is the gangliest member of the crew, and it's really not that bad. You can see the rest of them actually look really nice. And it was the same with the Constructicons. But it just took them a little too long to get the engineering and gear. It was also plagued with way too many repaints that didn't move.
Yeah, it's a lot of repaints.
Yeah, it's like every other wave was a repaint wave, and I don't know about you, Tobias, but to me, the lack of any fiction, any kind of universe to set them in, or any kind of place in history, really, to me, that was, you know, lacking.
Incorrect. Transformers United EX, which was the Japanese take on these, they took all the molds written by Andrew Hall, also known as Hydra, good buddy of mine, conceived at BotCon 2012 in a hotel room. Andrew was given the reins of this by eHobby at the time to write the fiction of the localization of these molds into Japan, and he wanted to do it based off of his most mysterious and favorite of all the non-told stories, Operation Combination. All of these molds were repurposed into actual G1 characters, whether it be the more bulky versions of MicroMaster characters, or in the case of the Dinobot one that was just shown, Kyoryu, which was one of the members of Dino King, the Triceratops, he was now the leader of his own team, which was a Dino King homage, that one done there. And I'm trying to remember what some of the other ones were. One was a homage to Clowder, also known as... too much information coming out of my brain right now. Double Dealer, thank you. There was the whole line was supposed to be like, well, it's not supposed to. It actually happened. It was called United EX. It was an expensive line because if you actually looked at how much those five packs cost, they were the price of practically masterpiece toys in Japan because I think they were like 6,900 yen. Yeah.
Well, see, that's why I didn't.
Yeah, they were like 6,900 yen. Yeah.
A lot of people don't own
those versions, but there was a lot of repaints. Another good example was trying to remember who was the race car commander.
Overrun.
I forget what his American name was, but they repurposed him as Rapido from
Double
G2.
Clutch.
Was it Double Clutch?
The blue one.
A lot of them were G2 because the Operation Combination was the end of the line before G2 in terms of story. So they took all these MicroMaster characters and all these early G2 characters and repurposed them as toys in the United EX operation combination line. So if you're looking for fiction in that, you go to the Japanese releases of all those toys, and every single toy was packed in with two text stories and some art done by I have to look up who did the art. I think it was Yoshimaka, I think, who did the art, who does all the e-hobby stuff back in the day, with Andrew Hall writing the story, making it super fan wanky. It did have a place. If you put Operation Combination somewhere in the fiction of things, it's with Power Core Combiner. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, Hasbro even tried to address the point with Power Core Combiner, saying where it existed, and they actually tried to put it in with the movieverse. They were trying to go, oh, it kind of works with... At the time, they were kind of like, if you went to the websites and you saw where, like, the marketing was and stuff, it kind of went with the movieverse. But in Japan, this was straight up Operation Combination, Generation 1, Japan's timeline.
Yeah.
The one thing I think you guys forgot to mention about Power Core Combiner was a controversy that existed within the line in the case of Spastic.
Yeah, I was going to come to that, because that was
a... Oh, you get to that? Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's no problem. It was the last wave or the last five pack that came out of the line.
And scalped like crazy at BotCon.
Yep. It was, like you said, it was going to be called Spastic with the Stunticons. But Spastic, that was an offensive connotation in UK, among other countries, so they changed it to Overrun.
And what they did was they just put a sticker over Spastic that you could easily peel off. And it's hilarious because you have this box, and it's like anywhere where it would have said Spastic, and it's like five different places around the box. Because you had like the bio on the side, you had the explanation of which all the toys' names were on the back, and you had all these stickers just going like Overrun, Overrun, Overrun. You could peel them back easily, and Spastic was written under it. It was like a last second change, and they had to like change everything.
And what is as hard as that set was to find in the U.S. that Christmas, Walmart got them in a two pack for $9.96 with the earlier versions.
What? And I forgot to mention too. I just remembered now because we were praising Undertow. Undertow in United EX, if you're a G2 fan, he's the Rotor Force Manta Ray. That's what they turned him into.
Yes.
So, if you want to actually associate a character with that great mold, that's who he was intended to be in the Japanese continuity. So,
and,
there's a lot more to that line than people realize.
Absolutely, and I like to get a hold of all those Japanese toys, but
it's just so expensive.
Still expensive. Oh,
yeah, I probably would have bought all the Japanese stuff, but it was the cost that, and at the time, the dollar was not performing well against the yen. And
I wish I could find one of the sets I'm looking for is still that the Marine Master, the recolor of Undertow,
there you
and Tank Master. That's the one set that I would like in the Japanese colors. And no one has them left in stock. And with the yen doing so good, I can't find them anywhere.
Well, just showing up this Spastic or Overrun, as he was renamed. There he is. That's the main toy. And he was also repurposed in a two-pack, I think, as this one with black...
That's actually how he came out first. He came out first.
That's the first one, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's the two-pack.
Yep, from the two-pack. And, yeah, that was some great toys. This is one of the first two-packs that came out, Huffer.
Yeah, Huffer. And that Calibers Minicon is awesome. It turns him from a normal, you know, semi-truck to an artillery truck.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Here's another example of a Minicon turning into an axe. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, the one thing I wish Power Core Combiner had done something like Beast Hunter did. The Beast Hunter toys had their own little text scenario going from one figure to the next.
which was a different storyline than what the cartoon was doing. So I think if Power Corps, if American Power Corps Combiners had some kind of like small text story with each mold release or each character.
Yeah. I really wish that, you know, the one thing I wish that hadn't died from the Unicron trilogy, this sort of, you know, harkening back to last week's episode, was this pack-in mini comics. I think that would have been great for the Power Corps line.
Yeah, that would have been really cool.
And it's unfortunate that we didn't get anything like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's a great line. And I will post some pictures of my Power Corps combiners because I took a lot of pictures of those guys over the years. So I will post them on TFYLP on the Facebook page. So.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with the line. Unfortunately, over time, the spring gimmicks in my drones and some of my drones have weakened, and
yeah,
especially in the leg drones, and they don't stand so well anymore.
I agree. But that was a weak point to begin with, the spring-loaded toys. They should have made them combinable, of course, but they should be normal Transformers in Legends class size.
I wish they just simply transformed into arms and legs without the springs. I mean, I think that would have been...
That was them just trying to have fun with the engineering.
Yeah.
And I would like to get the opinion of the designer of these Power Corps combiners. What's his name? Sorry, I forgot about it.
What, Mr. Archer? Mr. Archer?
No, it was someone else. I think because Aaron had said it was someone else who designed these, but And, you know, when we were first given these, they were sort of billed as, you know, this is sort of the test market for combiners. And at the time when we started seeing them fail, I think there was a collective gloom and doom with this line for the fandom, because it was like, well, so much for combiners.
Well, it also came out during a time when Revenge of the Fallen was doing really well. Transformers were just selling like crazy. And it was probably just the engineers going like, let's try to do something fun and give people combiners, since we'll never do combiners because it's just not feasible.
No, but it started up something that we still have.
Well, and then the following year, after the success of High Moon's War for Cybertron, and then Fall for Cybertron getting its sequel, we all ate our words with that when Bruticus came out. So,
yeah, that's true. Eric Siebel
brought everything back.
What's his name?
Yep.
Sorry.
So even if you guys don't like it, kids, these saved combiners.
They're a piece of the history.
Yep, absolutely, and great toys.
And, you know, one thing I'm a little surprised that we have not gotten yet from BotCon
is, like, small little sets of these groups, like the Steam Hammer set recolored as G2 Orange or Yellow Devastator, or Dino King, Grimstone as a colored different Dino King.
I honestly, when they announced the Machine Wars box set, I was honestly convinced that it was going to consist of these molds, specifically because you had the jet, you had the Formula One car, you had like the truck kind of thing. So I was like, well, there you go. There's almost all the basic Machine Wars toys. You repaint those. And I thought you were going to get, because they're a smaller price point, I thought they were going to kind of get everything done from the basic scale, 8 figures in one box. And again, this is me being a dreamer, but, and then all the larger stuff would just be like, oh, okay, let's just take larger scale stuff. I don't know, Silverbolt from Classics or something at the time, that Silverbolt to make the Starscream. Or, I mean, that was just me like brainstorming, but in the end, we never saw anything of those really after that.
That would be great, because just as you were saying, there were a lot of toys. We had airplanes and
there was a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and you got the monster trucks and rescue vehicles. You got even this great little toy. We have to mention him. Ice Pick, I think it was called.
Yeah, Ice Pick.
Yep.
Well, and what about these? These little guys. They came out.
Yeah.
To take
third party.
And make this guy.
Which is,
in my opinion, 100 times better.
This is something that came out within the last 2 years. Is that correct?
Chaos Paladin.
Yes.
Yeah. I got this at BotCon last year, so I'm really, really proud of this one and glad I got it.
I remember when you got him, because I think you asked me about him, and I said, get him if it's a good price, because he's a beautiful piece.
He's really beautiful. And it's got all these connectors, just like... Megama said, these orange pieces. They were blue. They were like, what do you call them? All spark blue?
All spark blue.
Yeah.
On the original toys.
Color left over.
Yeah, and they're orange here. But this is something that you got to get if you're a fan of the Power of Cocoa Mines.
Yeah. You know what I would like to see this repainted as? Now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, we were talking about BotCon sets. I would like to see this repainted as the Beast Wars Neo dinosaurs. I'm not sure what their team name was, but
You're talking about the orgy mode slash.
Yeah,
I know it's
if we can
that.
Get, you know, if we could get a Killer Punch, if we could get a what's his name? Not Crazy Bolt. He's the ugly one. You know, you got the. The only one I don't know who this would be, because there was no plant eaters on the Predacons, but you know, getting these guys as they were plant eaters, never mind.
Yeah.
Some of them were.
Yeah, my dinosaur knowledge has failed me. I'm not a kid anymore. I don't remember.
No, that would be a great idea.
Not a paleontologist.
Yeah. This is what that Grimstone looked like in his Beast form.
Yeah.
Really great. Sorry.
I would love to see those. I think the Power Core Combiners got a lot more hate than they deserved. They weren't what everyone wanted at the time. Everyone heard Combiners and they thought, you know, back to G1, and just didn't fill that gap.
I think the biggest thing that hurt them was that the limbs didn't transform.
Yeah,
I think that really just threw a lot of people off. Even though it was a gimmick. And it worked. That's not what everyone was expecting when they saw combiners.
And that second wave, I don't know what it was about it. That second wave of repaints really could be blamed for killing that line, because every store I went to, those were in the stores until Power Core Combiners were in their death throes. They were on the shelf. They just way overstocked that second wave of repaints. And it was just unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it was unfortunate, but I'm glad about it, because we got a lot of these Power Core Combiners here in Sweden, and they didn't sell at all. So I got them all on the sale. Really, really cheap.
When you get cheap Transformers, it's always a good thing.
Yeah, except for that last one. Overrun.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I got them at BotCon. So, I probably paid too much for him. But... Yeah.
Well, I think it's a definite. It may be not much more than a footnote, but I think it's a pretty important one. Like what you were saying, it definitely paved the way for more combiners.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, I mean,
it was Hasbro's lab for the new combiners. It was a testing ground, something like that.
I just wish United hadn't been so expensive that you could import them. And because I will say, with the better, higher color schemes, it made a lot of those sets look a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah.
We got anything else to say about Power Core Combiners?
No. So.
All right. Well, I promised something a little extra, and I think we're going to have, how about a story?
About a man named Jed.
Brought to you by Proto Man. Let's hear
a story.
A story.
So, recently I was on Storage Wars. And the beautiful thing with Storage Wars is when you first do the filming and everything, they make you sign a contract that says you cannot talk about the episode until it airs or anything of it. So it aired yesterday. And a lot of people were going like, oh, man, like, Proto Man, how could you say so much for these toys? Like, first of all, has everyone watched it yet? It's literally a three-minute watch because it was cut down a lot. But
I'm not having a chance to see it.
I got to see it.
I didn't know you were doing it.
Yeah, essentially, how it went down was, here's the reality of the story. I was contacted about March of 2014 by the producers of Storage Wars, and they wanted to do a segment on some found Transformer toys in a locker room. Now, keep in mind, here's the reality, is that everything that's found in Storage Wars in these lockers is planted. Everything is planted. Sorry to make anyone feel like, oh, that ruins the show now, but that's the truth. Everything is planted in this show.
I've heard that before. The guy on the show named Dave Hester was off the show for a while because he was had an issue with the fact that they were planting stuff and deceiving the audience.
Oh, yeah. And so essentially they were like, we're going to plant some Transformers in a locker, and they're going to find it, and that's going to be the theme of it. Coincidentally, though, they were going to film the episode the same month as the new movie. You know, oh, everything's going to work out, you know, like they're going to definitely get that cross promotion with Hasbro and everything. So I'll tell you one thing, though. I asked them, like, well, could you email me what they're planting? So already they pretty much straight up when they contacted me said, look, this is fake. Here's what we're going to be showing you. And they showed me right away. I'll tell you, they got some ratty ass Transformers. They got some ratty 84, 85, and some 86 toys. And they're like, could you tell us what you think any of this is worth? And again, it's hard to, you know, when you have a guy who doesn't know, like, you know, pieces and stuff like that, because they literally had like one bag of pieces. And I'm like, well, is that Prime complete? You know, is that Megatron complete? Does, you know, all the little pieces that would make everything. Is there all both versions of the missiles for the Seeker Jets? Are those there? You wouldn't even know what I would be talking about. So I was like, you know what? I see what you got here. You have like about probably $200 of stuff if it's complete. If it's not complete, we'll see when we see it in person, because I'm not going to ask you to like try to piece all this stuff together. And it's like, fine. Fast forward to TFCon of July of 2014. And they filmed, must have been like an hour and a half of footage, all kinds of stuff, B footage, walking around, all kinds of things. And they filmed about a good half hour of footage also with me just talking. And there was multiple takes too, because they wanted me to emphasize how excited I was to see these toys. And I kept having to tell them, look, I'll be honest with you, I've seen probably about 300 G1 Megatrons in my life, you know, in person, and handled them. I mean, I'm not going to be excited to see this one. You know, and they're like, no, but we want you to be excited to see these. Oh, my God. You know, like, wow, I've never seen a G1 Megatron before. And the thing is, what was sad was by the time G1 Megatron had gotten to me, they have broken it horsing around with it. So now my original assessment that they gave them was even less. But then they informed me as I was – because we had to do multiple takes. So, like, you know, many different takes of me explaining the toys to them. This is the story of Transformers, blah, 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 why they're worth money. And then me saying how much it is. They were pretty much, like, going, like, oh, man, that's too low. Like, we paid a lot for this locker, you know, already filming it before. Could you say it's higher? And I was like, oh, my fucking God. You know, like, this part I didn't like because I was like, I'm not going to say, like, it's higher more than this. And then I told them, and then like literally on the spot, we're like going, okay, maybe if we bunch the mini bots together, maybe if we bunch this together and we do certain editing shots, we can make it seem like it's more than it is. And then on top of that, because the Megatron was broken, because when we first did the first shoot of it, I'm like, look, the Megatron's arm's broken. You know, it's busted. It's not worth anything, really. And then they had to go into the dealer room and get some borrow some parts to make it more complete. It was just this cluster of lies, essentially, to make these two poor Storage War hosts, which, by the way, I had no clue who these individuals were. So, like, I mean, everyone else was kind of like, oh, you know, like, it's the people from Storage War. Yeah, I was just like, whatever. It's just two people with a whole bunch of ratty 84, 85 Transformers trying to ask me to give them an honest opinion. And when you've done TFCon all those years, you do that all the time anyways. There's people coming up to you all the time saying, hey, is this worth anything? So it's not a, you know, it was just business as usual. But it was so sad how I had to, like, lie on camera. I think the thing that bothered me the most, more than anything, was that – and it's such a silly thing that bothered me – was the way that the editing was done, everything was out of order. If you actually rewatch it, there's, like – the footage that is used is all over the place. They use stuff that happened at the end of the meeting, at the beginning of the meeting. They were just picking and choosing. And when they first showed me the toys, they showed me only 84, 85 toys. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess they dropped the Skylinks because that thing was the most busted piece of crap out of everything. So they probably didn't bring it. So when I was explaining to them, I'm like, oh, it's all 84, 85 Transformers. And then the footage that they used was showing the busted Skylinks on the table. And I'm like, God damn it. You know, now I'm going to look like an idiot, you know, at least to the fans that know. You know, they're going to like, oh, my God, they're going to, you know, there's Swerve, there's Tailpipe, and there's Skylinks over there. And I'm like, oh, those are all 86ers. You know, so stupid little thing that bothers me, but it's just like, ugh, it's because of the editing, because they don't know. So the whole thing is fake. The whole thing was fake, and the assessment that I gave them was totally just them going like, look, we have to say it's more, because someone in the show at the end of the day always has to get a big payoff. Someone has to go home getting nothing. Someone has to be in the red. You know, like they always do that. I don't know if any – I assume everyone's watched this show, have they?
I've heard about it. I haven't watched it.
That's an international version. The one you were on was an international version?
Yes, it was.
But essentially, it's the same show, different characters.
Same shit.
Yep.
And, like, I mean, I'll link you guys to it afterwards if you want to watch it. I went ahead and linked it.
It's on our Facebook page. I put a link up to it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's essentially like we did a super cut, which we just focus only on the Transformer stuff because that way you don't have to watch the whole 30-minute episode, which pretty much breaks it down to 3 minutes, which is kind of sad because there was so much footage that they shot. They shot walking around the conventions, talking to other people, the cosplayers and stuff. And in the end – and again, to a lot of Americans who really like Storage Wars and Canadians who watch it too, it was a big deal. Like everyone's like, oh my God, you're on Storage and stuff. But when I watched it now, I'm just like – man, when you know the truth behind it, it's doesn't sit well. Really doesn't.
Well,
especially
I wanted to add one thing to your credit. That happened to be the same year where I attended, and I remember when we were closing up, and I was talking to you, and you said, "Hey, did you see that? That Swords Words came through," and I was like, "No, because I never watched that version of it."
Mm-hmm.
And you even told me, you were like, man, I just hope they don't make me look like an idiot. And I was like, what? And you talked about it's David, right? And
well, in the past, there's been three different. I don't want to name names to throw them under the bus, but there's been three other Transformer fans that have been on reality shows, and all three times they threw our fandom under the bus in some way. They made us look like lunatics or hoarders or, you know, or just completely disconnected from reality. And I was just like, oh man, you know, here's my turn up to the plate. Let's just hope I could do the fandom proud a little bit.
Well, that's what I wanted to mention was, you know, you came to me and it wasn't, hey, guess what? I'm going to be on Storage Wars. Hey, I'm bragging this and the other. You were just like, man, I honestly hope I did the fandom credit. That's what you were worried about. That's what you were worried about. You were worried about how you would come off, how the fans would come off, and I think that says a lot to your character. So I thought that was great.
It's because every time I've seen, like, I mean, the good thing is that whenever I've been on camera for stuff, and it hasn't been the first time I've been on television, I use my ability to talk very well about Transformers and the way that I sell it to make it look like it's not a crazy hobby. And I've always, and I've done that prior to the Bay movies when it wasn't a big pop culture thing. So I was just hoping that, because the sad thing is when I used to do interviews, I'm able to do that raw. They can't cut me. They can't do super cuts. They can't make me look like a nutcase because there I am spitting it. But
right.
When it's something like that show or like a collector intervention, which with David, you can make the guy look like a lunatic very easily. You could just, like, you know, get a neighbor that doesn't even know him very well and tell them something and then do a quick edit where it's just like, oh, I didn't know he's into that weird stuff, you know, like, and that's all it takes, really, you know. And again, and that's what happened with David, and at least to mention him, was if you ever see his collector intervention episode, and we and me and Brett, we've known David for years doing the BotCon circuit especially, and it's like they, like,
great guy.
They freaking destroyed him in that. Yeah. They, like, everyone who saw it was like, oh my God, like, if you didn't know this guy, you'd be like, wow, this guy's life is messed up, man. You know, like, his parents borrowing money from his parents, and the whole freaking, he's trying to run a business, and his car is a goddamn wreck because it's just filled with toys and you can't even sit in it. It was just, they were making him look like this nutcase. And here's me going like, oh man. And that's why when they were like, oh, be really enthusiastic, I was like, nope. Not going to do it. I'm not going to be enthused to see, you know, Huffer. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. Like, I just told him, I was like, look, people are going to be watching who are collectors, which is your viewing base. They're going to know their stuff, and they're going to be like, why is this guy who's an organizer of a convention and a self-professed collector of Transformers is going to be so excited to see probably the most common stuff of the vintage year. Yeah, show me a Bludgeon in great condition, then I'll go, wow, you know. But a G1 Megatron, which was the cherry of the whole thing, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. You know what I mean? A bunch of ratty Constructicons, beat up Skylinks, incomplete Seeker jets, and the only stuff that was complete was just due to the fact that they don't have weapons, which was mini bots. It's not going to happen. Ah, it was a great roller, though. It was a great roller. I think that's probably the only other thing worth mentioning. But
yeah, but definitely check it out on YouTube.
Yeah, it's out there.
It was linked on TFW. That's where I got the link with a shorter version. I mean, if you really want to watch the whole episode, go ahead, knock yourself out.
Yeah, it's out there,
but,
too.
But I think honestly, it's funny. I've watched that show off and on, and the only thing that really changes is what they find, of course, but the format of the show, the, like you said, someone scores big, someone loses, someone's in the middle.
They always balance it.
It's always the same. It's always the same.
That's why, and so they were supposed to be the one that kind of just does okay, but they were already, I think they were 1,200 in the hole, and they're like, yeah, we found some Transformers. Give us some good news. I don't know what they were thinking. You know what I mean? Like, I would hope that, I mean, when I gave them the assessment of $200 then, you know, why didn't you guys tell me, bring your red face slag, you know, bring your Minerva, you know, I'll bring it down. We'll say it was, I mean, a red face slag is a little more believable because that's a Canadian thing in 85. But, you know, I'll bring down something that'll pad it out a bit, you know. But no, they're like, no, we're confident with what we have. And then they broke it, you know. So I was like, well, that sure didn't help. That's very good. Yeah, break G1 Megatron. That's going to work in your favor. But they're like horsing around with the toys. They're like, oh,
well,
that's what
the funny thing was, is when the guy says, and I ain't going to spoil it. Not that there's any spoilers.
Yeah, watch it.
But
the link will be there.
Yeah, but when he says what he says, which is, I think these are worth money, and she kind of, if I could find something, and she's kind of like, she goes, well, you know, and she's got the Megatron. Well, you know, this? And she's flopping it around and everything.
I know,
and you're sitting
there
going, you know, it's comical. It really is. So when you say that they broke it, I can definitely see how that happened.
That's probably why it's a good thing you didn't bring something rare like your Canadian slag or Minerva.
Oh, God, yeah.
The camera, like, flipping it around, it would have gotten broke.
Yeah, here's Minerva. Snap. Oh, shit. Like,
that's okay. Then when you tell them how much they owe you, Then they start feeling they realize how much stuff was worth.
The best best good news out of it all was that I actually, when I agreed to this, there was no mention of money or payment. But when everything was said and done, they handed me $200 cash. And I was like, hey, for 30 minutes of my time to talk about Transformers, and I'm already here at TFCon, I'm going to the dealer room. Yeah.
There you go.
So that was kind of cool. That was probably the best part of it.
Did you ever find out what they did with them?
Oh, see, that's the part I don't know. Because the thing is that if you watch the footage where they're in the dealer room, that was all – because the way that they edited it, they make it look like they went into the dealer room first before they met me. It was actually the other way around. They met me first, and then after I gave that assessment, they went into the dealer room. And I think they were probably trying to pawn it off to some dealers. And the thing is, when they went into the dealer room, that's already when it was kind of closed. It was already past 5 o'clock, so they had – like they were one-on-one with the dealers, and they were able to kind of go up to them. I don't know whatever happened in the end. I don't know. The thing is, because it's again, because it has that riggedness to it, it's hard to say if they even own those figures, if it's even their property to begin with. Maybe it's just the studio got their hands on they bought a lot of Transformers off of eBay. They just took that. They threw it in a bag, and they said, here, pretend you guys found this. And then when the day was done, they gave it back to the producer. Who knows? Who knows what happened to those toys? But in all honesty, I don't think any of you would have wanted them anyways. They weren't exactly in premium condition.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think the Prime probably, if you wanted a gray roller, that's about it. And that was probably worth picking from it.
And that's the funny part, because they cut that part out.
Well, like I said, there was so – because I was really like, you know, okay, you have these. This is so-and-so from this and this year, and those are complete. You have this. And, you know, I like – there was 30 minutes of footage that was pretty much put out, and they just kind of like streamlined it. And the thing is, if you watch the footage, like Megatron is complete on the table, then he's not complete on the table, then he's complete on the table again. They were just taking B footage and taking sound clips from different parts when I was talking and putting that over the B footage, so it all seems like it's one thing. And the funny thing is, if you watch the footage, at the beginning of it, they approach a Rodimus cosplayer to ask him where the dealer room is. They actually dubbed the Rodimus cosplayer's voice. It wasn't his actual voice. They got someone else to dub it because they didn't have a mic on him, because everyone's mic'd. That's the thing, too. If for a reality TV show, everyone's actually wearing a boom mic and a big battery pack on your back. This guy wasn't, so they asked him a question. He talked, obviously. It didn't go through on the camera, and then they got someone to dub over his voice afterwards. So it sounds really awkward, too. It's so silly. Like, people were like congratulating me when they finally saw it, and I was like, not one of my proudest moments, you know. You know what? I've been on TV in the past for TFCon, and like I was on G4 and Space, and those I'm actually more proud of, because those were more interview style. And I was able to sell Transformers as how I see it in my mind and why I love it. And this was just more like, we're just going to pick and choose stuff, you know? Whatever. Yeah. Anyways, just wanted to kind of get that across, too.
You and I have had that discussion about media.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I have yet to go through the media and actually have the truth and actuality of what occurred come out, so.
You know what the best thing about the American version of Storage Wars is? That it's on a channel called True TV, which plays nothing but scripted, not actual reality shows.
See, if it was the American version, I would have liked to meet Barry. I think that's it. For anyone who watches Storage Wars, Barry was like the only interesting person I would have liked to meet. Everyone else is just like, whatever, you know.
But he's not on Storage Wars anymore.
He has not. There you go. The only reason I would have liked it anyways.
He's got his own show now.
Oh, there you go. That's how good he is.
Yeah, but I don't know how long it lasted. I haven't heard from it, so it probably got canceled too.
So. Oh, maybe. But yeah, that's the reality of a reality show, and why I said $600. I think I said $600, $650. I don't know what they fed me at that point. They were like, this is how much they paid. We need them to get this much out of it. Yeah.
Well, I think we blew past that 2-hour mark a while ago.
Yep.
So I think we might start. I think we need to wrap it up.
I think we do.
Does anyone else have anything to add? Any quick questions for Protoman and his, I guess it was 5 minutes of fame, or did they narrow it down that, or whatever? His
3 minutes.
His minutes of fame. It's 3 minutes of fame.
Plenty of it.
I will watch the clip, and I can ask you some questions on a later show.
Okay. On the offline.
There you go. All righty. Well, I think that wraps up another one. Anyone got anything else to say? Anything to add to any of the topics?
No, we should get Eric Siebenhaler on the show and talk some more of Power Combiners in the future.
Let's see if we can't make that happen.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. All righty. Well, I think, like I said, this wraps up another one. We'll start from one side to the other. Daniel?
Check out tfcon.ca. That's coming soon. We have Peter Cullen. Yay. VIP package, all that kind of stuff. If you're questioning the price of the VIP package, I did a podcast recently explaining all the logistics of that, which will probably be for another podcast. But, yeah, tfcon.ca. Check out our convention. It's going to be pretty rad.
Definitely going to be there.
Yeah.
Tobias?
No, nothing to add. It's a wonderful show, as always. And nice to hear from Daniel and his story there about Storage Wars. I'm curious about that.
It's wacky stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Insane Galvatron.
I got nothing. Except it's good to be back on the show. It's good to be back on the show. That's really all I've got. It's been a long hiatus.
I'm good.
He's good to go. Don, real quick while we got you, anything to add before we end?
Is Don's video dead all this time?
It keeps kicking in and out, in and out.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get him right before the end, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Is he there?
No.
Oh, well. I know Don, and he says,
he would have said, I'm going to get Legends RC because it's awesome.
There that's exactly right. So,
yeah, that's
and on that note, this has been another TFYLP. Join us next time. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure. A presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.